you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Happy New Year! This is our first 2020 episode.
Oh my god, I'm gonna meet my kids this decade.
You're gonna eat them?
I'm gonna meet my kids this decade.
Oh.
You're never gonna be able to process that sentence.
I even said it to Blaise. I was like, is that a thing you say too? And he's like, no, I don't know what that means. And
when have I ever said something that most people say? That was your first
problem. That's a good point. He was like, meet them where? I was like, that's what I said. Anyway.
Meet them in the hospital, I think. Or an agency.
I don't know. A spy agency.
I meant like an adoption agency.
I know, but I wanted to go a different route with it.
Actually, I like yours better.
That's what I think when he's in meet them, like meet them at a Starbucks or something.
At some point, I absolutely will meet them at a Starbucks.
I think everyone involved in both our families will be meeting at Starbucks on the reg.
Yeah.
Welcome to our first episode of 2020. It's pretty fitting that we talk about Starbucks within the first 30 seconds of the decade.
Sounds right.
Before
in 2030, when we find out that Starbucks is like an evil warlord.
Oh, they will probably take over the world by that point.
How are you doing in 2020/2019?
Listen, I'm pretty great. Thank you very much. Em showed up and complimented me, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a good start.
I was telling Christine, this is, I think, the prettiest I've ever seen her.
And then I was like, you went to my wedding, and Em just shrugged at me.
I was like, that's exactly right.
I don't
right.
take it back.
I was like, that's exactly right. No,
I was like, Blaise, you didn't say I was beautiful. And he's like, I smacked your butt. What more do you want from me? I was like,
look, you got the combo deal. You got a compliment and a butt smack.
Wow, this is quite a day for me, guys. Thank you.
And you smell nice. What's going on?
I'm worried to look at the comments where people are like, I don't get it. That I don't see it.
It's because you're not wearing your dad hat.
Oh, yeah. I did take off my dad hat. My dad hat actually came from my dad. He mailed us a box of really random items. It was a great Christmas box.
I love randomness. I don't know how you save yourself there.
We did get a box or a game. Look at that. It's called Punder Dome. It's a card game for pun lovers, and I know you don't like games, but
I do love a good pun.
But right, I was like, maybe we can like lure you in with the pun.
Half of that game I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I got a little dad hat, but I took that off. I don't know where it is. Oh, over there.
Yeah.
Also, Em and I did our, I know this is get like super late now, but we did our gift exchange yesterday, and like,
oh yeah,
freaking look at this.
Oh yeah, I got her the Zach Bagans Ghost Hunting for Dummies.
I screamed so loud, because Em was like, you probably can guess what this is, and I truly sat there like not guessing it.
Well, I will say, I skimmed through it myself, and it actually does have a lot of really good information in there, so.
I'm excited, I'm actually going to read it. I'm a little bummed you didn't have it signed, but like, that's fine.
I did think later I should just get it, I should have signed it myself and pretended And we have his autograph right there. I should have just stolen
it. Wait, that's a good point. Also, it would have been really funny if he did, if I believed that it was real and then I showed it on air and people were like, that's not real. M's a hoax. A phony.
Everyone would have tagged him and he'd have been like, I promise that's the last fucking book I would have signed if it went to her.
I never signed that. And I never will. Oh my God. Yeah.
But I do like it. I think if you are actually,
Oh my God, this chapter is called When It's Not a Ghost. Like, M's like that. It's alive? Always a ghost. And then detecting trickery. Oh, this is fun though. I'm really excited for it. We did a gift exchange. Oh, sorry. We did a gift exchange, and if you guys want to watch it, we're putting it on Patreon the week of Christmas.
At this point, it's already come out though, right?
Oh, that's right. I'm so, such an idiot. You're right.
It's not Christmas yet here, by the way, guys.
Right. If you can't tell, here. We're extremely confused about where we are and what time it is. But yes, yeah, so we put that on Patreon. Also there's some fun content on there that we've been filming, so yeah, patreon.com/ATWWD podcast.
yep.
And anyway, how are you doing
so far? So good, I think. Awesome. we'll see if it keeps up.
I like your shirt, your Avengers sweatshirt.
Thank you. It's supposed to look like Friends, but it's the Avengers.
It does.
This was a birthday gift from Allison.
I love it. Very trendy.
I like it. That's it.
That's the news. The hot news. That's, the hot take for 2020.
That's the hot goss. Let me think. Well, last night I was up until 4 a.m.
Oh, super.
And I was trying to be productive before I leave, because I leave tomorrow for Virginia.
Oh, true.
By the time this comes out, I will be back from Virginia.
That's right.
Which is very interesting. A whole adventure awaits in between now and then.
An adventure indeed.
And that's all. That, I was trying to be productive, and I ended up watching my Christian stories. And
your what?
I have many Christian stories I like to watch.
What does that mean?
I've
never heard that phrase in my life.
That's like, weird, because I say it a lot in my home. No, like I watch a lot of Christian content.
What? Since when?
Years, since college.
Like church services?
Yeah, well, not like church services, but like dramas about like church families. Dramas. And stuff.
Okay, I was like, do you just sit there and watch a sermon? Like, I don't get it. Okay,
no, there's a.
Can you like give an example? Because I don't fully get
one
it.
One is the Greenleafs. That's it's like the show is called Greenleaf. Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant when you said stories, like an actual sermon, like you just listen to a priest giving a sermon. I was like, that's
not a Christian story.
It's a pretty Christian story, Em.
I mean, it's Christian, but no, the story is the drama. And
right, that means a soap opera.
Well, you know, I also like the My Duggars out of pure fascination.
So I didn't know that counted. Okay, I get it now.
Yes, Christian and a story to tell for sure.
Yeah, but
some wild.
I've never heard you say that phrase seriously in my whole life.
Which is so weird, because every night Allison comes home and asks what I've done, and I say, "Oh, I watch my Christian stories."
So
it's very weird. It's like, imagine something you say all the time, and like you. I found out yesterday that Christine crochets.
No, I don't, but I cross-stitch.
Oh, cross-stitch. Sorry. See, I'm still
new to it. Emma, learning so much about each other.
But she was like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for years. And I was like, how have I never once... I come to your house every day. I've never once seen an accessory for that hobby. That's how it feels with you being like, what do you mean Christian stories? I say it all the time.
I was like, you haven't seen my Nightman Cometh cross-stitch? And you were like, what?
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So you do Christian stories. I do, like, fucking Nightman Cometh Charlie Day art projects, so I guess we have our own thing.
If you like if you also enjoy watching Christian drama unfold, it's very fun. I highly recommend Greenleaf. It's on Netflix. I started watching it by accident when I used to be a show scanner at ISS.
Oh.
And it just is so damn good. It's about it's like a big mega church, like a family who owns a mega church, and all the drama that happens behind
the
church.
But it's like real. It's not like irony.
No, it's like fiction.
Have you seen Righteous Gemstones?
I'm about to.
That's a great show.
Well, is it fiction or reality?
It's fiction, yeah.
Oh, okay.
A John Goodman, and it's like these people who own a mega church. It's on HBO.
Ugh.
And it's so good.
I love it.
John Goodman was on the plane to New Orleans, remember? And
nobody
believed me because of the Jude Law shenanigans.
That's true.
But it was John Goodman, because I confirmed it with other people to make sure. But he was in a middle seat. I was amazed. I was like, wow.
I got to New Orleans before Christy and Eva, and I like did some self-exploring within myself and also amongst the city.
Just in your room. And Christian stories playing in the background.
God damn it. I love a good Christian story. If you're not watching Greenleaf, you're missing the hell out. I'm telling you what. And Christine came like 2 days later or a day later and was like, oh yeah, so I was next to John Goodman on the plane. I was like, no, you weren't.
I know you weren't.
Like, let me guess, was Jude Law the pilot?
I know, you asshole. You really ruined my story. And then Eva's like, no, Em, this time it was real.
Anyway, I highly recommend that show. Also, let me make the caveat right now. I watched the Duggars and Bringing Up Bates purely out of fascination, not because I condone anything that's happened.
We've talked about this a lot. Em has gotten attached to some of them over the years and wants to see what happens as they grow.
I have to know at this point. Like, I watched little Jackson be born, and now he's 16. Like, he's gonna be courting someone soon. Listen, I just gotta know.
Courting them? Wow. Meanwhile, I just fucking watch.
They hold hands after engagement. I'm so fascinated.
I just let you tell it to me because I just want the good parts.
I love them because it's so the opposite of how my life will ever be, and I'm just so curious.
Anyway, I hope it's opposite of my life as well. Too late, I've already held hands, so
oh no,
I lost my chance.
I've held hands. I'm going straight to hell.
Yeah, you are. We all know that already, but
anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I just watched Cold Case Files. That's my only story. I also wanted to say we're about to go on tour when this comes out for our first week. Makes us both want to vomit, but we're very excited.
Almost excitement.
Anxiety and excitement and absolute sheer terror that goes to the core of
terror
our being.
Terror is more what it is.
I thought you said terrorism. I was like, no, not that one.
I did say all of those letters together. Like, terror is we didn't agree on this. More the feeling. Yeah.
Got it. And so I also wanted to add, we have tickets left. I don't know for what shows, but I think we're running low, but we'd love to sell out 2020. It would be super special to us. So
it would be bananas. Please help us sell it out.
And then our patron of the week, since I've started doing this and I just wrote them way ahead of time to prepare.
I appreciate you.
Is Justin Reeser, who has been our patron for 26 months. I know, right?
Wow. That's, hi, Justin. Thank you.
That's more than 2 years, I think.
That's definitely more than 2 years.
If my math is correct.
It's for once correct.
Also, while I was perusing the patrons, I found some, you can filter them. And so I found our longest patrons ever.
Oh.
Guess who our longest is? Lisa from Norway. Lisa G. Oh,
I have not forgotten about Lisa.
I know. I think about her weirdly often.
Also, Lisa G gave us Norwegian dog snacks at some point.
That's,
right?
Yes. And also send us some mail. I think twice. I still have the postcard from Norway on my fridge. I follow her on Instagram. It's a little bit strange because that was way early. So I feel kind of a stalker.
Back when we had 10 followers, Lisa G was one of the
big, I'll send you mail.
The big cats.
And then Chloe Mays has been with us almost that long as well. Almost as long as Lisa.
Wow.
And so is Ravioli Senpai. I just want to give you I'm sorry. Now Justin Reeser is wait, I thought this was my episode.
Sure, I mean, it is, isn't it?
Wait. It's all of your episodes, I guess. But I'm just going to spread these out over the next few episodes as I kind of go. But yeah, I just want to say thank you because it's 2020 now and you guys are supporting us and for over 2 years and it means a lot.
Yep.
It's really, really special to me and I got very
bananas,
emotional.
Bananas, you're still doing it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going to hear this and go, oh shit, I got to delete that.
I didn't know. Ooh. I thought I canceled that.
Do you guys, some people literally send me emails and say, I lost my Patreon password. Can you delete my pledge? And I'm like, no. I mean, technically, no, I can't.
Well, it does happen.
Okay, sorry. So that's my last note.
We were also, yesterday we were talking about, yesterday was one of the first times, the first time Christine's ever come over to my house to hang out with me. It was very weird.
I was like, I've never been here without Allison. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime Christine's come over, it was to hang out with Allison. Even then, it's not a lot.
I don't know if people remember that Allison and I are really good friends for 10 years now. I feel like we never talk about that aspect.
In case you don't remember, Christine introduced me to Allison.
Because she's become the girlfriend rather than my close friend.
Right.
So she holds a place in both our hearts.
So they've hung out, and not even a lot of times then. I feel like you've mostly come over for parties.
Yeah, Allison held a poker night, sometimes we've done a dinner where she cooked me dinner. That was nice. And then parties. Yeah.
But yesterday was the first time Christine came over to hang out with me and I was the only one home and it was just the two of us in an empty apartment. And I'm used to being in a loud, fuzzy, furry animal apartment with you.
I mean that my whole life has just,
it was so silent. I was texting and I realized there was no sound happening because no one was interacting with Christine.
I felt like Bird Box. I kept looking up or not Bird Box. What's the one where you can't make noise?
Yeah.
No, that's
I know the clapping with Sandy Bullock.
No, Sandy is who plays Jim from The Office? He's the one in the
A Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, where you can't make any
What's
noise.
The one where she's in the canoe that everyone freaked
out
about?
Yeah, that's Bird Box. Oh, yeah. Okay. But I was thinking of The Quiet Place because I was I kept looking around. Every time there was a sound, I was I'm gonna be murdered. I think. Anyway.
Yeah, we run a very quiet apartment for the most part.
It's amazing. Here I am with fucking elementary school kids screaming.
Well, Christine
at all
was
hours.
Sitting on the floor and she was usually there'd be like four different animals in my face.
I can't sit on the floor because they just come at me. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, welcome to the floor.
This is what the floor is like. I forgot.
Also, we have couches. She just chose the
floor. Yeah. I was wrapping presents. It's a whole thing.
But so we were hanging out and we were talking about certain things for like the meet and greet and how we want to maybe we should start adding more questions on our frequently asked questions part of the meet and specifically for the meet and greet. Because last year, although we're very grateful for a lot and all of the presents, a lot of people sent some wild things. And so we were just joking around being like, oh, maybe we need to add something on the website of like you like because a lot of people ask, can we bring presents to the meet and greet? Yes, you can, first of all. But we were saying
with a caveat.
But we were saying on the website we should have a caveat saying like, but please do not bring the following. And they're like things that we
like real human body parts. Please no.
Like body parts, ashes of people you loved, like things like they really have happened already. So
the things that we're really anxious about having to.
It's very weird to smile for a picture after being handed things that are a little dark.
And like we, you know, want to make everybody really happy, but then we're like, maybe we're not.
We also have to like. We have to make sure that we give an appropriate response instead of like, oh my God, like I'm holding teeth. Like, you know,
because it's live, like actually live.
It's like literally happening. And someone like they always have a friend filming it. So it's like, oh, I have to act really cool as I'm holding someone's body parts.
Someone's like toenails or whatever. Like, oh God.
So anyway, I don't know how I got off on this tangent.
I don't either.
We were thinking about adding a little something on the website of like a list of things that. Please don't bring them again.
That being said, we love, we get really excited when you do bring gifts. Even we got like a prosthetic hand. Like, I know I said body parts, but I mean real body. Because that one was fun to scare.
That one was
fun. Scared the shit out of me with that. We got, you know, some fun stuff. I love when people make gifts and then we can bring them back to the studio. We sometimes get like snacks and wine that are local. I don't know. You guys are just really awesome. And don't feel like you have to bring a gift ever. Like, that is not what we're saying.
Bring a gift.
Only for M. Yeah, and then M, you can put in your fucking suitcase. I'm the one who has to pack everything. Yeah. But no, so thank you guys in advance. I know that a lot of you have been asking. So, yeah.
Just no body parts.
I'm just like yelled at you.
No body parts to the 1% out there.
The special 1% who bring body parts. Not that we like weren't interested. It was just like,
oh, it was fascinating. And it was definitely, if your goal was it to be the top of conversation when we got to our hotel,
correct.
You won.
If you wanted Gossip Corner to be about you.
You did it.
Also, I think part of it too is that we were like, so this has happened multiple times and it's been great. But the one time that it happens and things aren't great, like they, I don't know, bring a heart, an organ.
To be fair, everyone that's brought us something that was a little like off the charts, they were always very nice.
Oh, yeah. No, it was never a problem. But we thought
it was just like, why? How did this end up in my hands?
We just kind of envisioned the projection of what it could look like in like the next 2 years. And we were like, things could go south.
People could start trying to like one up each other.
Try
and I'm
bring,
scared.
Try to take our body parts. I don't know.
Who knows?
All right.
So let's get into these stories.
Okay, please.
Just to stop derailing.
Please. Can I? Oh, this is so like, I'm so sorry. There's something really important that we have been meaning to bring up for like weeks and we have not. And this is, it just popped into my head.
What?
We were on Jim Harold's.
Oh my God.
Show,
yes.
Paranormal podcast. And I keep meaning to like plug that.
We keep saying we're going to do it and then we keep forgetting.
And because we keep recording in advance. And so like,
right.
We've been behind and I'm so sorry to like interrupt. But
no. This needs to be told.
But we were on Jim Harold's Paranormal podcast and Pod Lords, which is a podcast where he interviews podcasters about like their kind of how they became podcasters, what their kind of methods are. And that one, we had a really good time. You learned some fun facts about me and M on that one, I think, in our friendship.
Also, the fun part of that is we were on a show about how we came to have our own podcast, and it was hosted to the person who inspired
our podcast.
So it
literally
wasn't just like a normal interview. It was like the person who inspired us asking how we got here. And so it was really cool to like look
meta.
Him in the eyes and be like, you're why.
Yeah. He was like, I didn't ask for this.
He's like, I should have not asked you to be on my show.
It was very meta. But anyway, we had an awesome time and you should go listen to Jim Harold. He's our personal podcast hero. Point being, we had a lot of fun and it was super great. And I'm just really thankful that he let us on both of those. They're separate interviews. So go check them out. Jim Harold's Paranormal Podcast, which is one of my favorites. And then he just started Pod Lords, which is also really cool. Okay. So sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Yikes.
Also, Paranormal, the Campfire.
Oh, yeah.
His his show The Campfire is the one where we became friends.
Yeah, that's his most known show, but Paranormal Podcast is really great too. He has a ton
of shows. He's got a lot, and they're all good, so please go listen to all of them.
He's very prolific.
Just shovel him into your entire life.
The thought that we were interviewed on Jim Harold like 3 years ago would have
blown our minds.
Like, we wouldn't have believed it for a second, so.
The Widows are back! Big Hair and Bigger Lies collide in Desperate, Deadly Widows, the highly anticipated follow-up to Audible's best-selling Young, Rich Widows, where nothing's more dangerous than a widow with nothing left to lose. Set in Providence, Rhode Island, 1987. 2 years ago, a plane carrying four law firm partners exploded, along with the cushy lives of their once wealthy wives. Now, Crystal fights to keep their fallen law firm afloat. Justine hustles as a lawyer trainee. Meredith owns the strip club where she once danced. And Camille orchestrates honeypot schemes until one arrangement goes wrong and she's implicated in the mayor's murder. Will the women cement their friendships, or is loyalty a luxury they just can't afford? In this thrilling expansion of the Widows universe, Desperate Deadly Widows unfolds as an edge-of-your-seat thriller where desperation wears stilettos, trust is a poker chip, and redemption comes at the cost of everything you thought you knew. Visit audible.com/deadlywidows to listen now. And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. If any of us, that's the coolest part, any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So I'm doing live show notes. I had a plan for a much larger story, which I'm going to do a little bit later. I found a whole lot more information and I want to try to get as much of it in as I can. So I stopped halfway. I realized it was not going to get done in time. So I'm doing a live show's notes. I'm doing one of the stories from when we went to Houston,
woo-woo!
Which was a long time ago now. That was one of our very first shows, I think.
When this comes out, it'll be like a year because it was January. January.
It was January, like the mid-January.
We did two shows in one night and we went, this can't happen again. And then we did it again in Salt Lake. But
yeah, Houston was the only place up until Salt Lake where we did that, right?
Yep.
So this was round two. And so we were really tired.
Also, we're about to be back and there's still tickets. So go buy Houston tickets.
Also, Houston was one of the loudest shows we ever did.
Oh my God, it was fucking bananas.
Texas does it big. So
Dallas
please,
already sold out.
Please scream at the top of your lungs for us. It gives us a little ego snack. So
ego snack.
Okay. So this is my second story that I did at the show. This is Hotel Galvez.
I literally was like, I bet I'll at least remember the name. No, I remembered nothing.
I don't remember anything either.
So,
once again, here we go all together. So
all together now.
And this was back when we did it, and that's why we draw, because I see a little some color blockings on my notes. Okay, so let's all learn together about Hotel Galvez, shall we?
Please.
Apparently, it's located in Galveston, if that makes sense.
Woo! I hear it now.
and my mom texted me. There she goes. Okay. Located in Galveston, it is a massive hotel right on the beach, apparently. That's fun.
Oh, that sounds
Speaking
nice.
Of my mother, that's exactly probably she where she wants to
it.
Go. Fun fact. It is apparently the oldest and most haunted hotel in Galveston and has been on Ghost Stories and Ghost Lab.
Okay.
Fun fact. That is fun.
Yeah. Drink.
Well, this is interesting. So in the 1800s, there were several orphanages on Galveston Island. And in 1900, there was a storm called the 1900 storm.
That's very creative.
I don't know where this comes in, but at the live show, apparently I thought it was appropriate to now do an And That's Why We Draw called Superhero Nuns.
What the? You always did yours before the fact, and then I did mine afterwards. So it would always not make sense until the story.
I liked being contextually complicated.
What are your words today? Oh, my goodness.
I'm on one. Guys, this is what happens when you... go to bed at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Something happened to your
and
head.
Wake up at 9.
Because you came in and went, "You look so beautiful." And I went, "What the fuck?"
Look, if this
I have not showered.
If this is how I am today, let's just all embrace
can
it.
Can we just, it's like when Dwight hits his head and like Pam's like, "I have a friend all of a sudden." Can you just like stay this way?
Thanks, Pan.
Thank you, Pan.
Okay, so during this storm in 1900, called the 1900 storm, St. Mary's Orphans Asylum, don't like that word, was destroyed, and 90 children and 10 sisters were all killed, and only 3 orphans survived.
Oh my God.
Yikes. So 90 out of 93 children
that's horrifying.
Passed away. And trying to save the kids, the nuns actually cut clotheslines into pieces to tie around each kid's waist and their own. So they would tie... they tie it around their waist, tie it around the kids, and almost form an alley line of children to try to get through the storm. And this potentially caused them to actually die faster because they all got tangled up and drowned in the water.
Man, what the fuck?
I'm sorry.
Houston has gone quiet.
Yeah.
Houston, we have
and a hush falls over Houston.
We have a big problem.
Okay, Christine. Christine recently told me that I never noticed it, but whenever I'm wildly disappointed in her, I do this like specific exhale.
You guys know. I'm sure you hear it all the time.
And now I hear it every time, and I just heard a slight version of it where I just went,
"Yeah, that's the one." I do this thing apparently where I like constantly like grab my own collarbone when I'm like worked up or anxious. It's so true. And I was like, "God, it's really annoying when you have a necklace on because then you're double."
Because you're playing with it all the way out here, and then you go back, and then
I'm
you
like,
come.
It's a weird self-soothing technique. I don't know. It looks like I'm fucking choking myself.
I just exhale because about everything going on in my life. Christine shows up, and I just go.
I just like choke myself out for about everything in my life.
Okay. So, oh yeah, the children are all dying.
Sure. Let's go back to that.
So the bodies of several children and one of the sisters were actually found still tied together.
Oh, fuck.
Many of the bodies were buried in the where they were found, aka their bodies were buried on the property where the hotel is now.
Oh my. They're still there? They're buried there? That's wild. Okay.
Well, when they found the bodies, essentially that was their first resting space. And that reminds me of when we went to...
What does it remind you of? I don't have any clue.
The hotel in New Orleans
where
it was
true.
A bunch... It was used to be an orphanage and a bunch of children are said to haunt
that's
the place.
That's where we met Michael.
Why do you say his fucking name?
I don't know.
I'm so afraid. He can hear us. I know he can hear us right now.
Stop myself. Ooh,
I just got really, really religious.
Oh,
this is why I watch Greenleaf.
This is Christian stories.
I'm trying to be a Greenleaf. I'm just trying.
The hell okay. What does that mean? Okay.
The Greenleafs are the Greenleafs are the family.
You definitely hit your head on something.
Everyone go watch Greenleaf and tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to watch that. I don't
Season
think
3
I...
gets bananas. Oh my God. Every 5 minutes I was like, there is
Isn't
nothing
gonna, like,
that is not.
Upset me? Don't they? It feels like it's going to upset me.
I don't know how you're going to react to it. I love it. It makes me really excited. So maybe you will hate it.
Probably.
But no, the last season I just finished up, I was like, there is no stone unturned. This family is going through it this year.
Oh my.
Oh my goodness. Okay. where are we? Oh, yeah. Okay, so the bodies were originally buried on the property where the hotel is now. Mm-hmm. So the storm destroyed the entire island, and the residents wanted to rebuild no matter what. It's good for them. Mm-hmm. They rebuilt the area, including in June 1911, when they opened Hotel Galvez, which was named after Count Bernardo.
Oh, dear.
I can't do it.
That hurts my ears.
Bernardo.
Oh, Jesus.
De Galvez y Madrid.
I like how the ending just kind of...
I wanted Bernardo, and that was it. One of my best friends at ISS, his name was Gerardo, and it took a long
Gerardo.
Time. Took a long time to learn that one because I just always called him Hedda.
Oh, Hedda.
And I was
right.
Like, what's your full name? And he was like, it's
Gerardo.
Gerardo. Ugh, took a long time. Okay, so the hotel was nicknamed Queen of the Gulf because it overlooked the Great Seawall and the Gulf of Mexico.
Beautiful.
Very fun. It was also nicknamed the Playground of the Southwest, and the hotel was so prestigious it became a hotel for elite upper class.
Oh, my. What a turn, though.
What a turn.
Yeah.
Guests included Howard Hughes, Frank Sinatra, Jimmy Stewart, General MacArthur, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Dwight Eisenhower, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Jesus.
So, lots of people.
A lot of prezzies.
In the 1950s, a bride-to-be named Audra, you can see where this is going,
oh,
if you've
always.
Ever heard a bride in one of my stories, was a guest of the hotel with her fiancé, or while her fiancé was out to sea. Mm. She checked into room 501 and would take the elevator to the 8th floor and climb the ladder up to the roof. And on the roof, she would watch for her fiancé's ship to come home.
Oh, no.
After a storm, Audra heard the ship had wrecked and all were lost or dead. She was so miserable that she ended her life by hanging herself in room 501.
Oh, shit.
In the bathroom. Oh. A week after her death, do I even have to tell you at this point? It's been 153 episodes.
Oh, no.
Audra's fiancé was rescued and came to the hotel looking for her.
Oh, my God.
So now there is a haunted bride at this hotel.
Sure.
Find me a hotel where there isn't a haunted bride and I'll pay $1 million.
In a white dress, yeah.
Her nickname apparently is Lovelorn Lady.
Oh, my.
She's the most famous spirit at Galvez, and especially on the 5th floor where she died.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spirit of a little girl who guests and staff have both seen wearing early 1900s clothing and bouncing a ball.
Fun.
Staff have reported seeing her near the gift shop, on the staircase, and on multiple floors, and she's often seen by construction workers, especially recently, as of last year when I did this, especially recently when some were renovating the basement.
Renovations.
I know. Spirits do not like when the environment is being mixed up.
Tampered with.
Tampered with is a great word. Oh, we got to bring that back.
Tamper.
I just need to start putting it into my regular vocab.
Yeah, you know? You've added a few words today already, so.
You know what a good word is?
Yeah, that stupid sigh. Yeah, okay. It's a great word. You use it all the time.
I blacked out. I got excited to finally use my new word, and I forgot it.
Great. Is it Sisyphusian?
No, but I will say since then, I haven't really committed to it yet because I know myself, and I'll say I'm going to do something, and then I won't. But I'm taking it day by day. And I am trying to learn. I found a...
Oh, a calendar? A word calendar? No.
That I need.
Oh.
I am a little by little, before I go to bed, learning a little bit about Greek mythology.
Oh, my.
You, like, got me into it.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted to go read that story after you talked about
it. Latin class finally paid off.
So I'm starting at the very beginning. Well, back in Latin class, I wasn't paying attention to anything.
Oh, me
in that
neither.
Class.
I don't know how this happened.
But so I'm starting at the very beginning. So I'm currently learning everything I can about chaos, which I sit next to. So
you're like, you don't need to learn much more.
Like, I can just ask you how you're feeling, and I'll know everything about chaos.
And Cronus, who ate his babies. I remember that part.
I'm trying to do it in the most quote chronological version possible,
isn't it? When Cronus eats his babies,
that's like chaos is the first, because apparently chaos creates. Earth, underworld, and love or desire, and then later creates darkness and night. Apparently, he also ends up marrying night. It becomes a thing. I'm learning very slowly, but
all right. Well, let us know.
I'll catch you up when I get to Cronus. I'll let you know.
Let me know when you get to Sisyphus.
I can't wait. That's a different sigh.
Also, I forgot I'm being recorded, so I just got a paper towel and started blowing my nose like a fucking trash monster. Talk about chaos. So I apologize. I have really bad allergies.
If you guys knew how often we blow our nose, nice. We're messes over here. Also, fun fact, I feel like not many people know this, but I do have like a mild allergy to dogs.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did. I've definitely told you this before.
Probably like years ago when it first was relevant, and now I just don't even think about it.
Yeah. I like if I'm around dogs, it's fine, but if I ever like sleep with a dog in my face, I'll wake up with a cold.
Oh, that's why you always wash your hands after with a cold.
Oh, with a straight up cold, yeah.
I don't think that's how allergies work, is it?
It's how it works every single time. If I were to lie on a couch and Gio was snuggled up on me, if I stayed the night and breathed him in all night, I'll wake up with the worst sore throat ever, and devolves into a cold.
Yeah, I have terrible sinuses, so anytime there's even a slight drop of moisture in the air, my whole head just decides to give up on me.
Yeah, I get like sinus allergic sinus infection kind of symptoms if I breathe in that kind of dander for too long.
So sorry about the...
It's God. Okay.
People who are new to this are like, what the fuck is this? I hear nothing relevant.
People would be like, I don't care. I already committed to Gio. It's fine.
Sinuses.
But I do have to wash my hands after I pet him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the little girl. I said something about Greek mythology. I don't know where we are anymore. Okay, so.
You said, what's a great word? And then you didn't come up with the word. That's where we were.
I think I was thinking of the word juxtaposition.
It is a great word.
Well, we'll find out later when it hits me.
Okay.
Okay, so the little girl is often most seen during renovations. The children's spirits will also play in the lobby on the piano and have been known to knock items off of tables and counters.
That's fun.
Women have heard these children, and when they hear the kids talking to them, the kids will call them mommy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's like when they have stories of kids, of ghost children, like grabbing your hand. And mm-hmm. people will be on a tour and it'll be like, oh, a child just grabbed my hand. There's nobody there, but it's like mm-mm. they grab the
worst part is when we have the worst slash best, because I don't want you guys to be deterred and then not do this if you fall into this category. But during live shows, we have had people come up to us at meet and greets and be like, I didn't want to scare you, but I'm uh-huh. a medium. And there was like a really like uh-huh. black energy standing
just
over
like
you.
Just like standing behind you the entire. And then it was somebody said, oh, it was standing behind M, and I was like, haha. And they were like, no, when you started your story, it walked over to you. I was like, wait.
Goose cam
indeed. I was like, why would you do this?
So
right,
we have our
bed?
Own demon groupie,
apparently,
a roadie, if you will. So in room 501 is one of the most haunted rooms in the hotel. Like I said, that's where the bride to be passed on. And people have seen her walking through the halls, they've seen her sitting on her bed, and they've seen her as a shadow figure.
Oh, my.
She's also known to bring a cold breeze with her wherever she goes. She'll cry, slam doors, turn TVs and lights on and off, and front desk attendants have had problems getting the hotel room keys to work for that room. Mm. There are reports of humming and a strange light coming out from under the door of room 501 when the room is vacant.
Oh, no.
That's a firm pass for
me.
I don't
like that one bit.
And there are also reports of phones not working in the room. So if your phone is called, someone else will answer or texts won't go through. Like the phone will just redirect you or...
Oh, my.
It just doesn't work.
Okay.
So if you were scared in there and tried to call for help,
really
you're
sucks.
Fucked. There are EVPs, apparently, of Audra giving intelligent responses.
Oh.
When asked what happened to you, she'll say bathroom or rope.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, no.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
She's also said on a spirit box drawer, which led people to check the drawer, where books about her were.
Oh, God. Okay. That gave me goosebumps.
That's pretty creepy. Also, when reading the book, guests have turned to a page where it mentioned her fiancé, and the spirit box at the same time says rescued. Yikes. That's a goose cam right there.
Oh, I'm goose camming all over the place. I'll tell you what.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my.
Okay, so this is apparently where another And That's Why We Draw began, and it's titled Unpleasant Bathroom Experience.
Well, I guess that's
and
one
And I don't
way.
Have a picture to show you.
One way to put it. I'm pretty sure this is the one where somebody photoshopped me, Zach Baggins.
Oh, yeah.
Into the mirror.
Yeah, like you're playing Bloody Mary and Zach showed up.
Yes, exactly.
So apparently the reason for that is because one guest was by the pool and came in to use the bathroom on the main floor. Once she was in the stall, the lights in the whole bathroom went out and she heard heavy footsteps on the bathroom floor outside of her stall, heavy breathing, and a man say, get out.
Oof.
She ran to security. First of all, you have to leave the stall, walk through that bathroom where you think someone is.
That's true.
Whew, that's the worst part. She ran to security and they said, oh, that's normal. And looked through the surveillance and nobody followed her in or left after her.
If you're that scared that you're confident someone else is in that bathroom with you and then there's no one on the camera, that must be the most like
scary,
topsy-turvy feeling of like
so disorienting.
Yeah, disorienting, exactly.
There are several hauntings in the lobby bathroom apparently where children laugh and knock on the stall doors and they steal your toilet paper.
Well, that's so, just fucking rude.
That's obvious, just the meanest thing you can do.
It's really cruel.
That's what you should do to your enemies after you die.
Yeah.
stall doors shake and vibrate, and the toilets in stalls next to you will flush on their own.
Oh, that's frightening. Not even the one you're at, the one next to
you. Can
you
imagine if it, maybe the like the automated thing you think is happening when you're in a stall is
exactly.
actually a ghost being like, nope.
It's like, you're out. Can you get out? This keeps trying
it's
to
like
push
like
you out.
You're here for too long. And the doors will also open to different stalls and nobody's there.
Woof.
Employees will feel someone staring at them in the halls and in the alleyways. And there's one report of someone watching the walls morph and twist in front of their eyes.
Oh, whoa. That's weird.
I don't know if they were on shrooms.
I was going to say, that could be multiple.
I don't know. They didn't say how or what they were doing before they reported this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a painting of a man whose eyes supposedly follow you wherever you go. And staff say there's a man in the corner of a laundry room that stands there and watches you, and the new machines will always break down.
Mm. Mm-mm.
In the restaurant, candles will blow out and the dishes will break in cabinets for no reason. And staff members report seeing an old-fashioned maid and a man walking through a guest room and disappear together.
Oh, weird. Okay.
So at least they're interacting together.
Yeah, that's nice. At least I have a friend in the afterlife.
Well, apparently sometimes they're by themselves and sometimes they're together.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Management has said that the spirits here are not mean or harmful, but they're just jokesters as they break all of your cabinets.
Yeah, someone yells get out in the bathroom.
they break cabinets of your wine glasses. That sounds pretty violent
to
me.
That's pretty fucking terrible.
And they make the hotel's equipment break down and they have guests leaving earlier than expected.
Yeah, I bet.
But they're friendly. Doors slam shut and windows sound like their glass is breaking, and then you go check on the window and nothing bad has happened.
God, talk about this makes you feel crazy. It's like
it's a crazy
gaslighting ghost here.
Crazy making. And clean bedrooms will always get messied, or messy rooms will always get clean. That's the place I want to be.
Once again, this is fucking... Yeah, the second one.
What a game of Russian roulette there.
I always say this when you talk about this story, and I think I've only said it at live shows. Maybe I've probably fucking said it on the show. But, like, it would be so frustrating if you were on the cleaning staff, and then, like, a room kept becoming dirty, and you were like... I fucking spent 2 hours cleaning that room and now it's messy. And like, it does your boss believe you? Who knows? Or what if people use that to their advantage? They just go on a cigarette break and they're like, oh no, I totally cleaned it. That was a ghost.
Yep.
I just wonder how that goes down. If you work at a hotel, let me know.
I'm sure like they get away with some things, like,
right?
Yeah. But really know. Someone's also gotten fired for, because
That's
of a ghost.
Saying.
Someone
that must be
out there
so
has.
Frustrating. Yeah.
That should be a theme for one of our listener stories,
actually. I was
just
thinking that. I was like,
if you've been fired because of a ghost, send in your stories.
See, M's taking over the themes now.
I'm just doing it in the general.
I love
that. The general episodes.
I love that.
Okay, so down by the beach, people also report seeing a nun walking up and down the shore during storms.
Nun ghosts are probably the scariest.
Well, also walking up and down the shore during storms. It's believed to be the ghost of Sister Catherine, who was the nun who died protecting the children.
Trying to save the children. What the F?
But also, I will backtrack real quick and say that nun ghosts do really just terrify me so much.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
One man named Timmy was staying in room 507, which shares a wall with 505. Mm-hmm. And this is an entire quote from Timmy. I felt stared at the entire time. No matter where I was in the room, there was always someone watching me from behind. Oof. I read in bed for a half an hour before I fell asleep. I woke up in the middle of the night to a bizarre sound, almost as if someone were wearing a dress and walking over leaves. That swish, swish sound.
Oh, my.
I turned on the lamp beside me, but I couldn't see anything amiss in the room. The window was shut. The air conditioning was off. Everything seemed fine. I figured it must have been someone in the hallway walking past my door, so I turned off the light and fell back asleep. First mistake, Timmy. A little while later, I woke up to the same sound, but it sounded like it was right beside me in the room.
Oh, my God.
When I turned on the light, I was shocked to find a woman in my room.
Oh, my God.
She had messy blonde hair and a thin cotton dress on. At first, nothing seemed unnatural about her, but when I first saw her, I thought I had missed the fact that I had one of those rooms that connected to another hotel room. So maybe she came into my room by mistake with a conjoining door.
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But maybe it was even a dare. Okay, so maybe like fun bachelor weekend or something.
That's an interesting thought.
But a second after I registered the woman, she seemed to lift off the floor a couple of feet. She had her head tilted back and screeched in pain as she levitated.
Oh my fucking God.
I watched in horror as she descended back onto the floor and seemed to resume a calm expression. I was about to ask if she was all right when she lifted off the ground again, repeating the same process. This time I could tell that she was being lifted up and held by her neck as if there was an invisible rope wrapped around her throat. This girl was being hanged over and over again in my hotel room in Galveston.
What the fuck, dude? And
that's the Hotel Galveston. Thank you, Timmy, for that fucked up story.
Seriously, I mean, that's fucking nightmare fuel. But you know what? I was thinking during that is like the first time he heard the dress swishing and he woke up and there was nothing there. And then later it happened again and she appeared. I wonder if she was like had to like try harder to appear to him. You know what I mean?
Maybe she was like putting out more
like
and more
energy.
Yeah. Wow. Like she wanted someone to know her story.
Or maybe it was a dare.
Or maybe it was a really weird ass dare. I dare you to levitate in a stranger's room.
Oh my fucking God. Yeah. That's awful.
Yikes.
That's so terrible.
Anyway, thanks, Houston.
Thanks for that.
For that, I guess.
We're coming back soon.
Coming back live.
We're staying at the Hotel Galvez. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we
at
are
this
not.
Point,
not in 50 whatever.
Absolutely not.
Explore new possibilities, pleasure zones, and find your vibe at funlove.com. Funlove.com is a leading online retailer of sensual health and wellness products, offering a wide array of premier brands of toys, lingerie, and accessories. I know I've talked about it before, but we received the most lovely gift basket from Funlove. First of all, I didn't know what it was at first, and then when I pulled out a vibrator, I thought, oh, oh boy, this is not your everyday fruit basket. There was everything, I'm telling you, from sexy perfumes to toys to vibrators to lube. I mean, I gotta say, it's like a one-stop shop, okay? If you go to funlove.com and you're looking for maybe a romantic evening, either with a loved one or with yourself, they've got what you're looking for, I can promise you. So what are you waiting for? Explore, discover, indulge, and make love fun by visiting funlove.com. And if you live in Arizona or Colorado, check out one of their 18 store locations. Hey, maybe I'll stop by when I'm in town.
And for a limited time, you can save 30% off your first order when you use the code DRINK at funlove.com. Head to funlove.com today and use code DRINK at checkout to save 30% off your first order.
Visit funlove.com today.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like fan fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code ATWWD to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Okay, so I have a true crime story here today.
Let's hear it. Okay. You do? Wait a minute. On this show? You have a true crime show, right? Oh my God, this is unprecedented.
2020, new year, new me.
New year, new me, new stories.
Same old, same old. So here's the thing. Em today came in the house and said, Christine, you look so nice today.
I think my exact words were, holy shit, this is the most beautiful version of you I've ever seen.
And it took me a while to figure out why that was. And now I realize it's because of my accessory that Em thought I was so beautiful.
God damn it. Christine, I don't even want to look. I already know. I'm not going to look. Hi, Lemon.
This is Lemon.
Hi.
He's in my pocket the whole time. That must be
disgusting.
It's giving me a,
is that why you put on jeans today?
A glow. Yeah.
So you have a pocket?
Yeah.
I fucking hate you. I take it all back. Okay. So, to be fair, guys, Christine, when she, so I'm low key, high key, a sucker for like long curly hair under a baseball hat. And Christine did that today, and she looked like Brie Larson in that scene of Captain Marvel with the shield hat and the leather jacket. She looked like divine. And now I hate that I said anything.
It was really sweet of you. It really made my day. So thank you for the compliment. Yeah, that was very nice of you, especially because the reason I was wearing a hat is because I did not wash my hair. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe it works. Anyway,
fun fact.
And thanks, Dad, for the great hat. Okay, so now that Em thinks I'm really ugly, I will tell you this.
Hideous, some might say.
I have two true crime stories. The first one is a mini true crime story, and it involves me and my best friend, Lemon. And, you know, recently, I don't know if you guys know about this, but Lemon... was Lemon napped?
Lemon took a journey.
Lemon took
that he did not consent to.
No, neither I nor Lemon consented.
unconsensed quest.
Sure, that's sure. The one. And Lemon was Lemon napped, and Em tweeted at me this ransom note
months later. Let's remember, like months. I didn't steal him for a day.
No,
I stole him for many moons.
And actually, there was like a really long period of time where I was very afraid that I had lost Lemon, and I was afraid to tell you guys about losing Lemon because I thought, oh God, like they're
a
never
lot of
gonna
people
forgive
were,
me.
We even did like a Facebook Live, I think last month, where someone was like, "Where's Lemon? We want to see Lemon."
I kept going, "He's over there."
Christine was like, "I don't know where Lemon is," and yeah. I was like, "Don't worry, Lemon's somewhere."
So finally, Em admits that like they have Lemon, and I was like, "Thank the Christ," because I really thought I had lost it. I was like,
somehow Lemon has become such a vital part of your career that you can't tell people whether or not you've lost him.
Honest to God, I was like, I did not think this would become, you know, what I make of my life, but I'm not displeased with it. So I received this ransom note that I needed to arrive at Em's house yesterday at 2 p.m. With a secret passcode, which was "I will buy you Cheesecake Factory."
Oh no. Okay, first of all, I did not learn the password. The ransom note said, if you ever want to see Lemon again, Please be in Burbank tomorrow at 2 p.m. Password will be sent to you shortly. Oh, come right. alone.
Right.
And then I texted her the password and I said, the passcode to get into my building is let me treat you to Cheesecake Factory after okay. this.
That's right.
And if you don't say it verbatim, you are not welcome at my home.
Well, somehow I snuck in anyway.
Somehow she did not say that. And yet she showed up in my house.
I was on the floor of your kitchen for
a while. There's a will, there's a way. And she got in.
So M put me through the ringer. I don't want to give everything away because we did film an entire video of this true crime shenanigans. But Lemon was lemon-napped and Eva and I were tasked with saving Lemon. And it was this whole saga. And there
it was
were,
Christine's Christmas present.
It
to
was,
be clear.
Yes. And it was like there were mind games and physical.
I built an escape room in my apartment.
Okay, there it is. Yes. And built a literal escape room. Like, I don't mean like, oh, Em put some clues behind a bookshelf. No, like, Em literally had like 17 types of locks, padlocks on things. Like, there were boxes, there were clues on the computer. Em put a bicycle locker on their computer so that we had to figure out how the hell to open it. And there were clues in the computer. It was the wildest.
And you had to know the password of the computer to get in.
Oh,
it
right.
was, everything was like, had like a triple password
it
scenario.
It was insane. And so Em filmed the entire thing. I presumably by now, hopefully, have edited it. Because I watched it last night and I was like howling, but I was like, there are long periods of time where even I just kind of stare at the ceiling and go, huh. And you guys don't want to see that. So I'm going to cut it down. But
I tried really hard to make it as professional of an escape room as possible. Like, I appreciate you saying it. I really put a lot of effort into it.
It was insane.
So it wasn't just like, I mean, if you know us by now, you know that we refuse to do anything that isn't wildly extravagant. So like, I tried to make it as... I mean, like, I feel like I did well enough that you I could, guys, like, sell it to an escape
were, no,
room.
No, honest to God, there were, like, pages in book. Like, so Em had the codex. We had to use the codex to solve a clue that was in an episode of The Office in a certain season. Like, it was the wildest shit I've ever experienced. And then there was, like, a map where we on the wall, and there was an arrow, and we had to find the alien Bible. And then, like, I mean, it is...
And there was a black light. And then at some point, opened a padlock box to a remote control, where when you turned the lights off, there was, like, a picture that was projected on
the
ceiling.
On the ceiling, all of a sudden.
And then that was... Then you had to use that in the cryptex.
Like, I don't think I could ever do an escape room again, because I'm going to be like, well, where's the fish on the ceiling? This is not okay.
But it was... I tried to cater it to Christine and Eva so that they would actually like look in the right spots, which you guys did find all the right clues. I also had RJ and Allison. I had them as my guinea pigs, and I was like, before Eva and Christine do this, I need two people to try it out so I know that everything goes in the right order. Because I don't know if you've tried to make an escape room that's wildly elaborate, but
yeah, I think we all have.
If you have, then you understand that it's not just one linear.
No, there's so many moving parts.
Like, you can't do this problem to solve this problem. Like, there is, like, it's just chaos. Like, you have to make like 7 lines of really tough puzzles, and they all have to go in the right order
and somehow connect.
If you hide a clue in the wrong space, then you might not be able to get into that box yet,
this
and then
is,
you trap
like,
yourself. It gets
insane,
really convoluted. And so I made RJ and Allison try it out first to make sure that the order I placed everything.
Right.
In theory, everything would go smoothly.
Right, like a test run.
And it was, let me tell you, if you have not, if you ever create an escape room or do an escape room for yourself first and then put your significant other in there when you know the answers, you learn a lot about them.
Oh my goodness.
Trying to watch them solve puzzles you know the answers to.
And was like, Allison was just ripping pages.
She was just
out.
Ripping shit apart. She literally just gave zero shits. Also, like, the escape room was in our house, like our apartment. Like, she knows where everything should be. And she was just glancing over things on the bookshelf that I handmade and like painted ladybugs on and shit. Like, weird things. And she just looked at it and she was like, huh. I didn't know that was a clue. It's like, what do you mean you didn't know that was a clue?
I
you
thought that was
here.
Just a piece of art that was in our living room. Yeah.
It's like, you do not know anything about what's going on in this house, do you? So if you can ever get yourself to know all the answers to a puzzle and then put your best friends to the test, it's quite a sight.
I don't know how you did it, because I watched it back and I was fucking frustrated with myself, because I was like,
I tried
you
to
idiot,
make it easy.
Idiot.
I tried to, I made it challenging, but I also thought it'd be like easy enough that you'd figure it out. And there were some things where you just could not get it.
Well, Em had a timer going, and I think I was like really, we were both like really...
I gave them an hour, like a normal escape room, and I gave them 3 clues, like an escape room.
But also,
room.
We were on camera, so part of it was like, I was like, okay, whatever we're doing is literally being filmed, so that was part of it. No, but it was super fun, and so anyway, point being, we're putting that on Patreon, right?
Yes.
It's Patreon exclusive.
Did you win? Did you get Lemon?
did I get lemon?
You got lemon.
In citrus and in health. You should have seen me screaming when lemon finally appeared in my
your
hand.
Your eyes, you're like a banshee. When
I want to get that clip and make like a gif out of it.
When you finally got lemon. And just like, let's make it obvious now before people are wondering what's going on. It may or may not have been a little over an hour. I may have given you a couple extra
guys,
minutes.
We solved the puzzle at 59 seconds left. And Eva and I were so proud of ourselves. We were like 50, under a minute left and we solved. And we kind of glanced at Eminem and was like, I rewound the timer a few times. We're like, what?
They needed an extra 15 minutes, but it's okay.
So, but I'm going to cut it down. You're not going to have to watch an hour and 15 minutes of footage. But so that's on Patreon. It was honestly one of the funnest things I've ever done. Honest to God.
So if you guys want to see what an escape room and, or if you want to know what my apartment looks like, or if you want to watch Christine and Eva kind of like dead eye and just gaze at my ceiling.
I was in a Santa hat. If that is appealing to you, I don't know.
Go follow our Patreon and you will have access to that
or
piece
of
footage.
Or if you're just really attached to Lemon, which I am, and you want to see him rescued, because look, spoiler alert, he's here with me now.
Yeah.
And he's just, I literally picked him up. I started welling up, like my little eyes were filling with tears.
Her first words were, I forgot how cute he is. So
I did. He's so cute. Look at him. If you're on, is this the first time he's appeared on YouTube?
I think so. He's chicken nugget colored, first of all.
He's beautiful. Live, love, Lemon. Anyway, cool.
What's the next true crime? What's the next true crime?
This is the real true crime. I almost did an entire story on that. And then, we kind of just did. But
someone out there did tweet like, oh, well, I guess we all know what the true crime of this week's episode is going to be. And I was like, Christine, if you can find a way to really hype up an entire escape room, that would actually be kind of dope.
I kind of did, but I didn't present it as fiction. And was like, you don't have to do notes. And I was like, what? And then I was like, okay, no, everyone's going to kill me if I don't actually do a story. Okay, coffee sip.
Wait, I want some. Okay.
I was like, of mine? You don't drink coffee. Okay. Gotcha.
No, but I like a good strawberry tea.
I meant to ask, since I ordered the Starbucks, do you like the freeze-dried strawberries or do you like the puree?
I like the puree.
Oh, fuck. We should have told me.
I like both. I'm not against either of them. I never personally get the puree.
I think I just always pick the...
Well, you were right, because when I first started this drink, I did the dried strawberries, and then I discovered the puree down the road, and my life was forever changed.
I always
need
to ask, okay, so should I do the puree instead?
Do a little combo bowl sometimes, see what happens then.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Live, love, lemon.
Love, strawberry.
Okay, so Lemon and I are going to tell you the story. I'm going to hold on to him. I've been literally carrying him around since yesterday.
No one doubted that.
Lemon's face. Okay, so I found an article I'd saved in my bookmarks. You know how I love to go peruse my bookmarks when I'm lost for a story. And this bookmark was called 10 Crime Stories with Strange Coincidences, which obviously is right down my alley, and it's on listverse.com. Mm. So I used that article, obviously, and then I used Medium, Unsolved Mysteries, Unsolved.com, All That's Interesting, Listverse, and ABC News. So this is the story of the Mary Morris murders.
Got it.
The year is 2000 is literally the entire bullet. Okay.
Really setting a scene here.
So 20 years ago. Yep.
Lemon was a twinkle in our eyes.
Definitely.
As was the show.
Definitely an M's. Yeah. 48-year-old Mary Lou Morris is a bank loan officer living in... Oh, yeah. I just remembered this story. It's so cool. I wrote these notes last week, and I was like, I think I really like that story, but I just remembered what it is. Okay.
Okay.
Guys, I'm sorry. I try to be like productive and do them in advance, which then when it comes down to it, I'm like, what is this? You know, if you do them the night before, you're like, it's fresh.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mary Lou Morris, she's a bank loan officer living in the suburbs of Houston.
Oh, holy shit, we did it again. How is this happening?
I don't know.
First Salt Lake. Oh, wait, both of the shows where we did twofers.
Yeah. Oh, wait, ew, that is weird. Okay.
Interesting what you guys are doing.
This was not intentional, clearly, as you can tell by my stupid face. Okay. she's a bank loan officer living in the suburbs of Houston. One day she says goodbye to her husband, Jay, and heads out for work. It's October 12th, 2000. Throughout the day, Jay doesn't hear from Mary, which is pretty unusual because they keep in contact. Aw, kind of cute. She's not answering any of his calls, so he contacts her office, and they say Mary never arrived for work that morning.
Uh-oh.
Yep. That evening, someone driving an ATV on a remote stretch of road about 3 miles from where Mary and Jay Morris lived came across what looked like a burnt-out car. Inside was a body almost completely incinerated, and police used tooth fragments to identify the body as that of Mary Lou Morris. The death was immediately ruled as a homicide, even though it kind of looked like someone had tried to stage it to look like a suicide. But it was immediately ruled as a homicide. Police said there was no sign of robbery or any other motive for the murder, so that was baffling. The only thing they noticed was that Mary's wedding ring was missing. Hmm. Strange. Mary's daughter said she couldn't think of any enemies her mother may have had. They asked about everything from gambling to drugs to affairs to any money issues they might be having. And all the answers were no. Like, there was no issue, not even secret ones, that she seemed to have. Yeah.
Got it.
And yet someone had made an incredible effort to kill her and leave the body with barely any evidence, torched in the middle of nowhere. So, just wild. The day after Mary Lou's death, the Houston Chronicle received a strange phone call. The man on the other end of the line said simply, "They got the wrong Mary Morris."
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. But also, oh my God.
Goose Cam.
Oh my God.
And I know the story. Okay.
And I know more than you.
I know the end.
That was kind of like, recently we were, Christine saw what I look like when I get scared. And I apparently put my fingertips on the temples of my forehead, on my head. And I go, oh my God.
It's like there's a high pitch of vibrato. It's amazing.
But what's weird is like I try to act all tough and cool when like if something happens. Yeah. It never lands, by the way.
There's like
but Christine saw it for like a firsthand account of it. I went, oh my God.
It's pretty incredible.
And
actually,
now Christine can't stop making fun of me for it. But I
And then meanwhile Eva got scared and was like, oh, like this manly grunt. And we were like, this is a strange turn of events.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. Anyway, so Goose Cam. They got the wrong Mary Morris. Just 4 days later, on October 16, 2000, authorities found the body of a woman in her vehicle along a remote stretch of road not far from where the Mary Morris had been found. Nothing was missing from the car except the woman's wedding ring.
Mm.
And the strangest part of all is that this woman was also named Mary Morris.
Whoa.
So let me tell you a little bit about Mary Morris number two. So her name is Mary McGinnis Morris. She was a 39-year-old nurse practitioner in Houston. On the afternoon of October 16, 2000, she stopped at the drugstore on the way home from work. While there, she called her close friend and said, "Someone at the drugstore is giving me the creeps," and said, "I'm going to run back to my office to turn off my computer and then I'm heading home." 12 minutes later, Mary made a frantic 911 call. During the call, Mary had been beaten to death and then shot with her own gun. Yeah. So,
yikes.
To recap, two women named Mary Morris who looked extremely similar, by the way. They both had like same haircut, same Weird. Complexion. It's very strange. Looked extremely similar, both found murdered in their cars in nearly the exact same spot in the Houston area, just 3 days apart. So, this is why I found this list that I found.
I hear you.
But while the first murder of Mary Morris had seemingly hit a dead end, the murder of Mary Morris number two immediately presented multiple suspects and motives. In the weeks leading up to the day of her death, Mary and her husband had both been having marital difficulties. A friend of Mary's told police that during this time, Mary was growing increasingly uncomfortable about one of her coworkers. He was a newly hired nurse named Dwayne. And Mary had told her friend that the new guy gave her serious creeps. Mm. And when her friend asked, "Do you really think he could hurt you?" she said, "Yes, I do. And I think he could do worse."
Oh, my God.
So not a good sign to start off with. When the nurse was fired soon after because actually of a report that she submitted, she said he made her uncomfortable. And so he was fired. So after he was fired, Mary went to her office one day to find her things all moved around on her desk. Pictures were turned to face the wrong direction, and there was a note left behind with the words, "Death to her." So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She allegedly told her husband, Mike Morris, that she was very afraid of the man and that she wanted a gun for protection. After showing her how the gun worked, he placed it under her car's driver's seat so she would have it handy if need be. When police interviewed Mary's husband, Mike, he told police he was at the movies with his daughter during his wife's murder. He refused to take a polygraph test. He didn't let police interview his daughter. He quickly hired an attorney, and it was noted that Mary's life insurance policy was worth $700,000 at the time of her death. And I know some people tried to turn that into incriminating, but I'm like, of course you hire a lawyer. I mean, you never know. The justice system isn't perfect. Sorry, spoiler alert. And, if you don't want your child daughter to be interviewed by police without you, like, I don't blame you. A lot of people have a life insurance policy. I didn't think it was that alarming. And a polygraph can't even be used in court. So I don't think it was, like, that incriminating. But it's worth noting, I guess. In their digging, police also found out that shortly before Mary's murder, Mike had confronted her about an alleged affair she was having with a friend.
Mm.
And finally, so another motive from another person,
And finally, they discovered that hours after Mary had been murdered, Mike had made a call to Mary's cell phone. And this was hours after she was already dead.
Got it.
And the call lasted 4 minutes.
Okay.
He claimed he was calling her cell phone to try to get a hold of her because he didn't know where she was and that she hadn't answered. And when the police were like, well, why was it showing up as 4 minutes? He said, oh, that was a mistake on the part of the phone company. And they were like, that's a strange coincidence.
Right.
So he said the 4 minute timestamp was a mistake, but police believed Mike was calling Mary's murderer.
Ooh.
To make sure the job was done.
Ooh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The theory was that Mike had put out a hit on his own wife, Mary McGinnis Morris, and 3 days earlier, the hitman had killed Mary Lou Morris by mistake.
I see.
Especially from afar because they looked similar. Aside from the obvious... Oh, wait. What did I write here? Oh, hold on. Police have since stated... Okay, so I do want to add that police have since stated they believe the murders were coincidence. They said they don't have... They see why it's compelling, but they don't necessarily... They can't make a statement saying... that they were linked because they don't have enough to prove that they were linked. But most people, including both victims' families, actually believe this was a case of mistaken identity. Mm. So all of the following is alleged, but I want to go through some of the evidence. Aside from the obvious, the brutal murders of two very similar looking women with the exact same name 3 days apart. So we already know that. It's believed that Mike Morris's call to Mary's number was actually an attempt to contact her killer who had been instructed to answer Mary's phone. And remember how both Marys were missing their wedding rings?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that's a common tactic that hitmen use to prove to their employer that the job was done. Because they bring the wedding ring home and say, look, I got this off of the body, basically.
Interesting.
I know, right? So the fact that they both were missing just their wedding ring is like another sign that points to the same person did it. And then obviously there was that call to the newspaper saying they got the wrong Mary Morris, which, I mean, that Yikes. Alone is
oh my God.
Chilling.
Yeah.
However, they never determined who made that call. And, Mary McGinnis's, so the second Mary's murder was also staged to look like a suicide. She had been shot in the head with her own gun, which her husband, remember, had stashed under her driver's seat.
Right.
So
he knew there was a gun there
exactly.
near her.
He could have told someone it's under the driver's seat. And that was only weeks before the murder. So the timing of it and the right. only reason that we know that he had taught her or that she had asked for a gun is that he said he's like she asked right. for a gun, so you know he said she said, but so that's a little bit incriminating as well, I think. Again, all alleged. Now the first Mary Lou was not shot, which I thought was interesting. So I actually found a super interesting theory on what may have happened on Reddit.
Okay.
I went on a deep dive, you know, as you do. And again, this is all alleged, and obviously this especially is just like internet theory, but I thought this was super interesting. User APWGK said, my theory on what happened in the first murder is that Mike's plan to make it look like a suicide went awry when the murderer discovered there was no gun under the seat or in the car because he had the wrong person. So he had to use other means to commit murder and get rid of evidence, which is why he set the car on fire instead.
I see.
Isn't that wild?
Huh.
Because
okay.
I was like, why would they use different methods of killing?
Right.
But then I'm like, well, if the gun wasn't there and he was told there would be a gun,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting, and I hadn't seen that noted anywhere else. One of these days, I just wish one of these Reddit users, like, listened to our show. Wouldn't that be cool?
If you are, please tell
us. If you are APWGK, let me know. Mary McGinnis Morris's sister, Stephanie, also believes this was a case of mistaken identity and says she would be horrified if that were the case. She said, quote, if by chance this was someone who was hired to kill my sister, it is a very sad thing they got the wrong person at first. My heart has to go out to her daughter, Marilyn, and her stepfather.
Yikes.
So even, like, the second Mary who... They're not sure who killed her, but it seemed like she was the target. Even her family believes that the first one was a mistake. So,
got it.
Alarming. So it's been nearly 20 years, and no one has been charged in either crime. Not that of Mary Lou Morris, nor that of Mary McGinnis Morris. Police have been unable to find any direct evidence linking the two murders. Harris County Detective Robert Tonry said, unless you had a totally bumbling hitman that just went by and said, I will just look for the first Mary Morris I can, I don't see that as a viable option. I will say I disagree with that, because I don't think that every hitman... Well, okay, here, I'm just going to read it. Another interesting point that I found on Reddit
by user ButRito, I really hope you listen to our show, said, I think the idea of a hitman in true crime mysteries is often really glamorized. Like, these are paid assassins with specialized training who would never make a mistake or leave evidence behind. But most people looking to kill their spouses end up, quote, hiring some rando with no real expertise other than perhaps a history of violence and or burglaries. I can definitely imagine that Mike Morris had a conversation with a stranger, whether it was someone he met by chance or someone that a shady friend introduced him to, about killing his wife. Mike might not have even taken the request that seriously and thus only provided the bare basics in describing her and her routine. Mm. So I agree with that, because I'm thinking, you know, you see movies and like the hitmen are like these
right.
assassins, but
well-established,
I mean, right.
in crime and in killing.
Exactly. And like know what they're doing and are super slick. But I would agree that, you know, I've watched those episodes of Cops where it's really horrifying, where people, they catch people hiring hitmen to kill people. And like, those don't ever look like very professional dealings, I can tell you that much. So then, I mean, once again, this is all alleged, but I just thought that was an interesting, like...
A good, yeah, that makes a good point.
Yeah. So this is where shit gets wild, okay? At the bottom of the unsolved.com article, which was the most... So this is when I was like, I'm done with my notes. And I was not.
Right, yeah. Okay, been there.
We both know how that happens.
Been there.
So this was the most thorough... So on the Unsolved website, that was the most thorough account of the murders I could find. They have a comment section. And the comment section featured some really interesting guest stars. I'd like to preface this by saying, yes, I understand, like, people on the internet can are not inherently trustworthy, and this could be someone trolling, but just let's just come on this ride with me for a moment.
I'm excited.
One comment left May 22nd, 2017, read as follows. This is Judy, and I was hired by Mary McGinnis Morris to replace Dwayne as the nursing manager. I was there when Mary was murdered. I loved Mary from the bottom of my heart. Dwayne, your behavior was very suspicious during the weeks after Mary's murder, and you have no business practicing nursing. 3 exclamation points.
Okay.
You need psychiatric help and are not competent to care for patients. Mary called me the morning before she died and asked me to go with her to lunch and meet her at the office. I told her, no, that I was going to work in my flight work in my yard, I don't know what that means, at my property. I was at the memorial service and basically took over Mary's position. A number of emails showed up in my new office email between Mary and her husband, and they were very telling. I believe Mike Morris was involved because Mary found child porn on his computer and she was going to leave him.
Whoa.
So, you know, this is someone on the internet, but I thought it was an interesting...
a good take.
Twist.
Well, an interest, yeah.
An interesting potential twist.
Sure.
I will also say...
A good theory.
A good theory, exactly.
Eerie and theory, some might say.
Both eerie and theory. I will also say that, like, if this is fake and it's just someone trolling, they did a really good job of making it seem written by a middle-aged woman, because there are, like, a lot of exclamation points. Like,
it's kind of... Okay, I don't know if you're part of it, but I'm a member of the group on Facebook for millennials pretending to be boomers.
Oh, I want to be a part of that.
Oh, it's my favorite. I mean, people post it all the time, but they'll post something random, but they'll spell everything yeah. just a little off.
There's like
with wild exclamation
points.
It says
like and, but it's like SND because the S is yep. next to the A.
I think you'd get a kick out of that.
So
that group.
Well, so maybe it's one of those people. I don't know, but I thought it was like but, really well done if they were faking it, because it really looks like somebody was. Just like trying to keyboard their way through that paragraph.
I see.
Yeah, so I don't know, potentially. And this was also years ago, so I'm thinking probably the boomer page didn't exist back then, if you're gonna tell me that it was one
they
of those
were just
people.
Practicing on Reddit first, and then this Facebook group came along and they're like, oh, I know exactly what to do.
No,
just keep typing.
No,
like
we're
that
thinking it's real.
Right, it could be real too.
It could be real. Go with me. I told you to come with me on this ride.
I'm on the ride.
Why are you abandoning me?
I'm on the ride. I'm just looking for an escape, apparently. An exit strategy, for some reason.
I think it's an interesting theory.
I do like it. I think it makes sense.
Oh, wait. There's another paragraph.
Oh.
I forgot it. My prayers to Mary's daughter and family. DNA has come a long way, and I firmly believe the true criminal will be brought to justice. Mary's compassion had a huge impact upon my life, and I am presently pursuing a doctorate in nursing, DNP. She is one of the best nurse practitioners in have ever known, and I miss her. Love, hugs, and prayers, the Mary's family. Mm. So if that's her, if that really is a person that Mary had hired before her death, interesting that she had, you know, gone on the computer and gotten her emails
right.
and seen some like telling shadiness going on between her and her husband. It's possible.
Interesting.
But it gets weirder. So
oh, wow.
So fucking don't jump off the road yet.
Okay.
So guess who shows up next on the message board?
Who?
Fucking Dwayne. Okay.
Huh.
Apparently, allegedly. I actually do believe this is him. It seems wild, but Apparently, he seems to pop up all over the place on these blogs and forums, and he's actually become known, like, in actual articles, he's become known for attempting to insert himself and give his side to what happened. Like, he literally jumps on all these articles and boards and tries to defend himself, and tried to sue people. Like, he's very outwardly involved, and I'm talking the real Dwayne. So, it is potentially okay. The real Dwayne. We'll see.
Got it.
According to a blog post by Diary of a Part-Time Writer, who has done extensive research into the case, quote, Dwayne inserts himself into almost every message board about the Mary Morris murders out there. He makes weird claims. He keeps messaging people even when he's been warned repeatedly to stop. And he's been doing this since the murders happened. So Medium confirmed this piece of information on their article as well. They said that Dwayne was very involved and inserts himself. But please know, this is just my rabbit hole, okay? This is all conjecture. I just thought this was interesting, and I found it on the internet.
Who's to say, but also, it exists.
I'm just reading you what I found. So
I hear you.
Dwayne allegedly commented on October 27, 2015, there was no connection between myself and Mike Morris as far as some joint conspiracy. Recordings prove that. I made the recording myself and forwarded it to Detective Hunter. There are more than one recording. I am not speaking about any 911 recording. Of course, I have not heard it. I made my own recordings in about 2001 or 2002 to give to detectives. I didn't fail any polygraphs for your information. I cooperated fully, and Mike Morris did not. Hmm. Who was he protecting? I did not contact any government agency or TV show, because people were like, he's always trying to get on TV about this case.
Got it.
To inform anyone that I was going to be arrested. You have libeled me, and you are subject to a lawsuit if my attorney and I decide that route. Enough is enough, little sister Dwayne. And that was directed at a woman who said she was Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
And said
little sister.
Little sister of Mary Morris. Wild. These people are literally just all arguing on these forums. And this is like this is like 10 years ago that this all occurred, these comments. Other comments he's left across the interwebs include that he has proof of his other claims, but his hard drive fried and he lost it all. Probably true.
Fair.
Maybe. That anyone who says Mary had reason to fear him is lying, that he's going to sue America's Most Wanted for defamation and slander, that Mary faked her own death, okay, and that a profiler should review his posts to prove he's not crazy. Okay, I can do that for you, sir. There is documentation of Mary McGinnis Morris's family jumping in to counter his statement, so they actually have proven that her family does jump on these forums to argue with him in the comments. So that's actually them. It's actually really morbid. I felt really weird going through the comments knowing that's the sister of the woman who was murdered commenting.
Yeah.
It's like, it almost like brings you
somehow makes it too real.
It's so real. It brings you like, I don't know, a screen away, like 1 degree away from the actual crime.
Like you're for all intents and purposes, you're interacting with the person who went through this.
And I could easily just hit reply and respond. Like, I'm not going to.
It makes them less of like an elusive.
Yeah, like less of a news story on the TV and more of like...
Like a real person.
A real person, Go figure, I know. 153 episodes.
Yeah.
No, I always tried to remind myself of that. But it was very jarring to read the arguments because they were just like these petty back and forth arguments. And I was like, this is just wild. Like, it's almost like they're text messages I'm reading. Felt very like personal almost. So although Jay Morris, Mary Lou's husband, so the first... So he firmly believes that this was a mistake, that his wife was not meant to be murdered, and that she was murdered by a hitman who meant to murder the other woman. Jay says he explained the odds of two people named Mary Morris killed in the same city, which the population at the time of Houston was 2 million.
Oh, wow.
Within a few days of each other are astronomical. But although that is true, that just doesn't hold up in court as evidence, obviously. Unfortunately, and this case was profiled on America's Most Wanted in June of 2002, but it does remain unsolved to this day, nearly 20 years later. If you do have any information, please contact Houston Police Department non-emergency line at 713-884-3131 or Crime Stoppers 24/7 tip line at 713-222-TIPS. And that is the strange story of the double Mary Morris murders.
Ooh. Thank you so much, Christine, for that wonderful, interesting piece of information that I got to hear.
That was one of those nights where I was up till 3, like, delving into the forums, you know?
Right, rabbit-holing.
Like, I don't know. I feel too involved in this now. But I personally, I don't obviously know who did it, but I think the husband story is a little shady, I will say. Just with, like, the odds that the rings were both taken and... someone had called the newspaper before.
Coincidental.
And the fact that the call to the newspaper, it has been confirmed that that happened before the second murder. Huh. So it's not like someone was pranking the newspaper. Right. That call came in after only the first murder. So just very trippy.
Interesting.
Yeah. So who's to say? I mean, who knows? Maybe Dwayne was involved. Some people have said maybe both of them were involved, but wow. No way to know right now. So hopefully that becomes a solved case somewhere down the line in the new decade. Let's hope this new decade is the decade
shines
for
a lot of light on cold cases.
Yes. Let's warm up some cold cases, baby.
Also, thank you, Lemon, for your guest appearance.
Lemon did all the work.
You know what's creepy is this episode, the next one after this will be on tour.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I vomited in my brain.
No, it's not that we're not excited. We're so excited and
we're
so
just
terrified.
Also terrified. Please, if you're coming, just please smile and laugh and cheer us on because we're scared up there and we have anxiety.
I think I'm most scared for the first week because this is a brand new format.
If you're going to be coming to our show,
Phoenix, like LA, or San Diego,
if you're coming to one of our first like 3 to 5 shows, we're sorry because you're going to be our guinea pigs for the tour because we don't know how
Which
it's going to go
yet. Which
might
be fun because it might be just like a wild ride. It will be a wild ride.
If we say something that doesn't land, we'll know and it'll get taken
out. You don't have to tell us. We'll figure it out really quickly.
But it's really such a different format and we're not going off of local stories anymore. So it's not like we're getting up there and reading notes anymore. Right. So it's like very much more almost like a comedy
Guys,
bit.
We have to practice it.
Yeah. And we're very nervous not going to go well.
I'm gonna have Lemon laugh
because we're going to be so scared.
Oh my God, guys, we're so scared.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm going to have Lemon as my talisman. All right. Thank you everybody for listening. Please come to our tour. We're so excited to see you.
Please, please come. It would mean a lot. Especially Houston, since we just did this entire show for you by accident.
For you. Okay. So now you do something for us in return. Okay. Thank you.
And
that's
why
we
drink.